Morning. How are we? Anyone else get a bit sunburnt yesterday like I feel? Today's subject is speaking on tongues. Someone did suggest to me that I should do the entire sermon in tongues, and then next week you'd have to come back for the interpretation of tongues and you could tell me what I said. Speaking tongues has been in the national media earlier this year, and that's because the Archbishop of Canterbury gave an interview, which we're going to watch a clip from now, and you'll see why it made the national media.
In your own life, I think it's fair to say you've come from a reasonably charismatic background. How do you see that expressed in your own prayer life? Is that something where you see the?
I love the phrase of reasonably. That's a really. Are you an Anglican?
I'm not. No.
Well, you sound like one. Well, when you say reasonably charismatic.
Maybe I'm close enough.
I really like that.
I'm United Reformed Church, so maybe that's close enough.
Oh, yeah, that'll do. Reasonably charismatic as opposed to unreasonably charismatic. I just think that's great. In my own prayer life, the obvious thing is part of my daily prayer discipline is praying in tongues every day for a certain period. Mm. And not as a sort of occasional thing, but as just part of daily prayer.
So, His Grace, the Most Reverend and Right Honourable Justin Welby, Lord Archbishop of Canterbury and Primate of all England, prays in tongues. What perhaps I think is a bit more interesting about that, that the media didn't focus on so much, is that he says he prays in tongues every day for a certain period of time. Well, speaking in tongues has been, at times, quite a controversial subject. Not that long ago, there were some churches that would throw out members who spoke in tongues. Maybe that some of you have experienced that, either on the throwing out or on the receiving of the being thrown out end. Certainly, if you're not used to it, it's pretty weird, isn't it? And I think in those Christian circles where it has been a valued gift, the focus has tended to be on whether or not you've got the gift, rather than on what benefits it might bring. I think it's probably the most misunderstood of the gifts of the Spirit. So that's what we're going to try and look at today. And there's lots of questions that come up around this. I'm going to focus on three. First of all, what is speaking in tongues? We're going to have a bit of an overview. Secondly, why speak in tongues? What's the point? And thirdly, how might we respond to this? So, what is speaking in tongues? Well, speaking in tongues, at its very basic here, is speaking in languages you've not learned. How many of us speak a language reasonably fluently other than English? You put your hand up. Quite a lot of us, yeah. Two languages plus English? Yeah, there's quite a few. Three languages plus English? Is there anyone who can do three? Tosin can do three. What are they? English, French, three plus. Yeah. Anyone do four plus? Okay, three plus. You think you can do four? We'll see if the 11:30 can beat that. Although I know there's more of them. Well, many of us will be familiar with the passage in Acts 2, the day of Pentecost, where there were a whole bunch of different people from all over the world, the known world. And they all heard the apostles speaking in their own language. It was even more impressive than Tosin. As impressive as that, I have to say, really is, because I can't do any of that. It's pretty clear from the passage that it was the Holy Spirit who enabled them to do so. And the people listening were amazed. I'm not going to go through the passage now in detail, because I know many of us are very familiar with it. If you're not familiar with it, you've got some homework. Let's go and find it and read it. Paul talks about speaking tongues as well in 1 Corinthians chapters 12 to 14. And it's apparent there that more commonly when people speak in tongues, particularly in a church meeting, they may be speaking a language that they've not learned and which no one present understands. So it's a bit different from the situation at Pentecost, but it's still speaking tongues. So speaking tongues, speaking languages you've not learned, whether or not somebody present understands what you're saying. Speaking tongues is a gift of the Holy Spirit. Paul lists it amongst the gifts of the Spirit in 1 Corinthians 12. So it's a gift. It's not a medal or reward. We can't say, I speak in tongues. And equally we can't say, I can't speak in tongues, I'm too new as a believer, I've got too much to learn, I'm too much of a mess. It's a gift. It's a gift of the Holy Spirit. So, pointing out the obvious here, but it comes from God. Given the confusion there's been about this in the past, it's worth remembering, it comes from God. It's good, therefore. God doesn't give rubbish gifts to his children. Sometimes people think that the Apostle Paul was not so keen on speaking in tongues. That's a mistaken impression, I have to say, from 1 Corinthians chapter 14, where Paul seeks to limit the use of the gift in church meetings. But we need to understand what Paul's saying. Paul is addressing a group of believers where their meetings, it seems, were dominated by speaking in tongues. It's the equivalent of me actually preaching the sermon in tongues today. And Paul's saying to them, how is that helping you grow? Rather than saying things nobody understands, wouldn't it be better if you could share an encouragement with someone? Share something that you've learned from God that would help other people. But that doesn't mean that Paul's against speaking in tongues. In fact, what he says is this. I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you. Which is a pretty striking thing to say to the Corinthian church who spent a lot of their time speaking in tongues. Can you imagine how much speaking in tongues he must have done? Okay, speaking in tongues is from a spiritual source, not a mental or emotional one. This is where things get a bit weird. Maybe because in our culture we're very used to being focused on our minds, increasingly focused on our bodies, and we know we've got emotions. Do we know we've got spirits? But this is what Paul says. If I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful or unproductive. And that seems to match up with experience. Those of us who speak in tongues, would you agree with me that you seem to not be choosing the particular sounds that you're making? You're not thinking about what I'm saying. The mind seems to take a bit of a back seat. But it's also not from an emotional origin. Sometimes it's been suggested that people speak in tongues because they're overcome by emotionalism, so hyped up they can't help themselves but just make funny noises. I know it happens to us so often, doesn't it? It's understandable, I think, actually, that people have got that impression. Because there are times, as we know, that the Holy Spirit comes in such power that people have both an emotional response, and it can look really dramatic, and they start speaking in tongues at the same time. But we know, of course, that we can speak in tongues without being emotional at all. Not feeling particularly emotional right now. I can choose to start, I can choose to stop. And lastly, speaking in tongues is not new. It's undoubtedly grown in prevalence among Christians in the 20th century, but it wasn't a 20th century innovation. There isn't a complete absence of it between New Testament times and living memory. There's quite a lot of examples. I don't have time to go through them all, but I'll give you one brief one that I liked. Early Quaker meetings. They may be a bit different nowadays, but Edward Burrow, an early Quaker leader in 1658, described some of their meetings like this. And while waiting upon the Lord in silence, as often we did for many hours together, with our minds and hearts toward him, being stayed in the light of Christ within us from all thoughts, fleshly emotions, and desires, in our diligent waiting and fear of his name, and hearkening to his word, we received often the pouring down of the Spirit upon us and the gift of God's holy eternal Spirit as in the days of old. And our hearts were made glad, it's the emotion, and our tongues loosed and our mouths opened, and we spoke with new tongues as the Lord gave us utterance and as his Spirit led us, which was poured down upon us on sons and daughters. So that's from the early part, he's talking about the early part of the 17th century. Speaking in tongues is not new. Well, that's an overview of what speaking in tongues is. If you're new to tongues and you want to look at it a bit more, coming up next is one of the books that I've come across on this, and I know it's an absolute classic, really good book, quite comprehensive and very easy to read as well. So I recommend that. John Sherrill's They Speak With Other Tongues. So, why speak in tongues? What's the point? What do you think the Bible says the point of speaking in tongues is? Do you want to shout out a few? What do you think? Edifies God. Other ideas? Everyone's thinking, hang on, I'm sure I read 1 Corinthians 14 at some point. When you can't find the words. Other ideas? So people of other languages can understand you. Let's go on to the next slide. These are some of the reasons that Paul gives for using tongues in 1 Corinthians 14. He talks about praying in tongues, so prayer. He talks about singing in tongues, seems to be sung praise. He talks about when you couple it with interpretation, it being a message from God, so it's like prophecy. He talks about building yourself up, edifying yourself. He doesn't mention in 1 Corinthians 14 the most famous use of it at Pentecost, which was, as you say, evangelism, essentially. We can see from that it's a multi-purpose gift. But it's also true that Paul isn't trying to give us an exhaustive list. These are things he mentions in passing in chapter 14. He's not trying to give us a list. He loves lists, does Paul. But he's not giving a list to do with the uses of tongues. So why doesn't Paul unpack this for us a bit more? Can we not get anything more about how you can use tongues out of this? Well, have you noticed how instruction manuals have changed over the years? I had a keyboard when I was a child, and this is the instruction manual that came with it. It runs to 72 pages, two supplements as well. It tells you every feature on this keyboard and explains it in great detail. You can look up everything about this keyboard, and this will give you the answer. When I bought an iPad a couple of years ago, that's what I got. I got a little piece of card with a few tips to get you started and a little piece of paper with some hazards. Of course, there is actually an electronic user guide for the iPad. But what's really intended is that you pick it up and you use it. You explore the features for yourself. You learn as you use it. You probably talk to other people who've got one and find out what they use theirs for. Well, of course, there are some subjects where the Bible deals with things in great detail, very methodically. If you want to know about justification by faith, you can read Romans. Paul sets it out very clearly, step by step. But there isn't actually an equivalent passage on tongues. In 1 Corinthians, Paul is not trying to write a complete manual on Christianity. And, you know, it's not that 12 to 14 are the chapter on tongues, where you can get it all laid out in a logical way. He's writing to a particular church. He's dealing with two particular pastoral issues. The first is they weren't valuing each other's contribution to the life of the church. So he says, there's many gifts, but the same Spirit. He says, you're one body. He says, love is more important than the gifts. And secondly, he's giving guidance about how a church meeting should be run so that everybody gets built up. He's not trying to tell them everything they need to know about tongues. They're already very familiar with tongues, of course, because they're using it all the time. When it comes to tongues, the Bible is a bit more like my iPad instructions. You've got some tips to get you started. You've got a warning about some of the hazards. But you're supposed to pick it up and use it and learn as you go. Experiment, explore, talk to other people, and discover things along the way. And of course, we know, don't we? We've got more than an instruction manual. We've got a coach who lives inside us, the Holy Spirit. I'm going to pick up on two particular benefits of tongues that I found, and I think other people will have found as well. The first is that it helps lead us into a deeper intuitive connection with God. Are you a cerebral person, an intellectual person? Do you believe in God? You pray thoughtful prayers. But maybe you struggle to connect with God intuitively, instinctively, emotionally. Maybe you struggle to hear from God. It doesn't have to be like that. I've been there, and God has changed that for me. Using the gift of tongues was part of my journey on that, and you may find it helps you too, if you use it regularly over time. I think it's something to do with the way it doesn't use your mind, as we looked at earlier. It uses your spirit. So it helps you connect with God at a deeper level than your intellect is capable of. Another use, another benefit, is on the next slide, it releases power. I asked Dave for some wrenches, and I've got some here. I've got a whole selection. We've got a little one here, nice and shiny. We've got a much bigger one. We've got this, and there was an even bigger one, but I thought that might be a bit much. So we've got a whole selection. The point of this wrench or spanner, of course, is that it allows you to exert greater force than you could manage on your own. Lets you get a grip on things, gives you leverage. Well, tongues is a bit like this wrench. It gives you spiritual leverage. It enables God through you to exert greater force than you could manage on your own. It enables you and He together to get hold of the spiritual atmosphere, for instance, and to shift it. It brings breakthrough. It's not just an add-on for when you don't know what to pray, although that's good too. Let's not forget, Jesus told the disciples that when the Holy Spirit came on them, they would receive power. And of course, tongues is a gift of and a manifestation of the Holy Spirit. It's funny, we easily associate the other supernatural gifts with power, don't we? Prophecy involves power. Healing, release of power. Tongues is the same. Let me give you an example. When I was 19 at university, I had appendicitis. I went to hospital. I had the operation to remove it. And for the first day or two afterwards, I really didn't feel very well. Nothing was moving in my digestion. I'll just say that. I think it's actually quite common after this sort of operation. And then one evening, I was lying in the hospital bed, and I was just starting to come round after being asleep. And the first thing I became aware of was a really palpable sense of the presence of God. The next thing I became aware of as I was coming round was stuff was shifting inside me. Something physically was happening. And the next thing I became aware of was my fairly new girlfriend sat in the chair near the hospital bed, quietly praying in tongues. It was actually the first time that she'd done so. And I learned later that she'd been quietly praying in tongues for 20 minutes at that point when I woke up. That night, let's just say, everything started working again. It was a bit unpleasant. I won't give you the details. But I would mark that as the turning point for my recovery from that operation. I can't prove medically what happened, but I can tell you what I know I felt at the time was changing because she was praying in tongues for that period of time, just very quietly. The story's got a happy ending. I made a full recovery, and the girlfriend and I got married. If you want a more dramatic account of how tongues can release the power of God beyond what we can manage, another illustration of this wrench principle, you may want to consider, and many of us will be familiar with this already, the life and work of Jackie Pullinger among the drug addicts of Hong Kong. She tells the story in this book, Chasing the Dragon. Praying in tongues had a powerful impact on those who needed freedom. So I encourage you to read that if you're not familiar with it. So how might we respond to all this? Well, for those of us who don't have the gift but want it, ask. You can receive more of the gifts of the Spirit than you currently have. Paul says, eagerly desire spiritual gifts. God responds to desire. Yeah? Ask and you'll receive. Seek and you'll find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. Somebody famous said that, didn't they? Somebody who knew what they were talking about. There's going to be an opportunity in a moment to ask. for those of us who don't speak in tongues but would like to, it's worth being aware, sometimes God comes suddenly and people speak in tongues very quickly after they ask. For others, God has got a longer journey. I became a Christian as a teenager. I was very active. I went did my quiet times in the evenings. I went to church on Sundays, going to a home group during the week, did some Bible study, and I was really enjoying all that. But I began to feel dissatisfied. I was enjoying it, but I felt like there wasn't very much power in it. I had a faith, but it didn't feel very real to me. Now, I knew not to rely on my feelings, but I knew that I was missing something. And I went to see one of the church leaders in this non-charismatic church and explained how I felt, and I asked, you know, I'm missing something. Am I actually even a Christian? And he said, yeah, you are, don't worry. You've chosen to follow Jesus. But you are missing something. What you're missing is being filled with the Spirit. And he suggested I pray for that, and I pray for tongues as a sign to me that that's what God was doing with me. So I started praying for the Holy Spirit, for the gift of tongues, and I got other people to pray for me. I talked to people who had the gift. I read about it. I did my research. I did everything I could and sought God for this. And after a while, I was meeting up with a friend in a room at church. We had some quiet prayer together. It was all very quiet. And as I was praying, out of the blue, a thought crossed my mind. I could speak in tongues now. So I opened my mouth and did, very quietly, so my friend couldn't hear. So I was very self-conscious about it. It's what I've been asking for ages. And it wasn't as I expected. There was no falling on the floor, no jumping up and down. I wasn't taken over by the Holy Spirit. It was just gentle and very encouraging. From when I started asking to when I received the gift of tongues took a year. And a year is a long time in the life of a teenager. So let me encourage you to be persistent. And of course, for many people, it does come much more quickly. For those of us who have the gift, and I know many of us do, can I encourage us to use it? Who do we aspire to be like? Who can we learn from? Well, I think, on the next slide, Paul is one of the greatest contributors, and on again, to our theology. Paul was a hugely successful church planter and evangelist, someone also who had profound experience of God, not just on the Damascus Road, but later as well, someone worth emulating. And he says to the Corinthians, of all people, given how much they pray in tongues, he says, I pray in tongues more than all of you. Justin Welby, not quite as lofty, almost there, but still someone we can learn from, uses tongues intentionally, it sounds like, for a period of time on a daily basis. As with all the gifts, you can grow in it. So I said earlier, I think one of the focuses has tended to be, do you have the gift or not? Whereas actually, we should think, if you've got the gift, how can I grow in this? How can I play with this like the iPad, discover more features, explore what it can do more? The focus, as I say, has often been whether or not you got it, but we need to actually pick it up and use it. When might you use it? Well, for me, I use it a lot in worship in church. I'm sort of 50% singing in English, the words of the song, 50% tongues. I find that really helpful. I find it personally very helpful when praying for someone else to start with praying in tongues because it helps me tune in. It means that then I'm praying out of here rather than out of here. You could use it in your own time with the Lord in a way that, as Justin Welby has said, in a sort of methodical, intentional way. This week, we've got our 24/7 prayer week. Maybe you'd like to book an hour slot and spend the first half praying in tongues. It's not something where you'll be thinking, yes, I understand all this and it makes sense to me, so great, this is the point of it. There's an element of faith in this. But what we find is that God is releasing power. And for all of us, wherever we're at on this, lastly, whether you've got the gift, don't have the gift, want the gift, don't want the gift, let's allow it to challenge us. You know, I don't think the disciples fully anticipated everything that was going to happen at Pentecost while they waited in the upper room. Holy Spirit shows up, and they start speaking tongues. And they had to respond to what God was doing. They had to be flexible. Let's face it, speaking tongues is weird. But God is often weird, isn't he? The whole idea of God coming to earth as a man is pretty weird. The idea of him then dying and that being a great victory is weird. Let's not even think about the resurrection. I mean, that's even more weird. The whole Christian faith is pretty weird. God's ways, of course, are not our ways, are they? And as Paul says elsewhere in 1 Corinthians, God seems to like to use what seem to us to be foolish things. And certainly to us, tongues can seem foolish, can't it? Let's allow it to be a good reminder to us that we need to be flexible in responding to the Lord. Sometimes God wants to know if you're willing to put aside what you think makes sense in order to follow him.